¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and primos are in the house, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys?
Hey, gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. We're making sure to continue to put out plenty of content on our FamiliaFFB.com website. And please check out our social media channels at FamiliaFFB on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. You can find me at JorgeMartin17 and Hector at What The Heck with two T's, both on Twitter.
Two T's, D-A-H-E-C, yeah. What The Heck. Yeah, baby. What The Heck.
One of these days we'll get Ricky on Twitter, but
there we go.
I'm an old man.
Yeah, that's right. A viejo. You're a young viejo.
How do you use this stuff?
All right, we're gonna start off a recap on Thursday Night Football.
What a game.
The Bears beat the Buccaneers in a 20-19 battle. It was a pretty tough defensive game on this one. Both teams having a hard time getting anything going consistently on offense. Both defenses actually got consistent pressure on the quarterback. So that put a damper on the reunion of Tom Brady and Nick Foles since their Super Bowl 52 battle. It was just okay. Brady finished 25 of 41 for 253 yards and a touchdown, zero interceptions, while Foles was 30 of 42 for 243 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Both of them had a lot of pressure on them throughout the game, and you could really tell that it was affecting their play. Ronald Jones got all the carries for the Bucs, finishing with 17 carries for 106 yards. I mean, this backfield is all his as long as Leonard Fournette is less than 100%. Fournette was active for this game, but he didn't play any downs, apparently. David Montgomery on the Bears side didn't have a lot of breathing room against that great Tampa Bay run defense. He turned 10 carries into 29 yards and caught 7 of 8 targets for 30 yards. So he did get a short yardage touchdown on a really, really tough evening, but he's still the unmistaken RB1 here. Allen Robinson is the clear leader among Bear wide receivers, catching 10 of 16 targets for 90 yards. I mean, he may be really the only one who's viable right now. He's the clear number one going forward, and he is an every week start because it really looks like Foles is looking for him. Anthony Miller is pretty much droppable after another lackluster game, 4 catches for 28 yards. I want to officially apologize to my friend Stefan for recommending that he drop Robbie Anderson for Miller during preseason. Mia culpa, mi hermano. I'll do better next time. Jimmy Graham did catch a touchdown on a nice toe dance there in the end zone. He did end up the night with 33 yards on 3 receptions. He's one of those touchdown-dependent tight ends who you could play him here and there. Back to Tampa Bay, Mike Evans gutted out the evening with catching 5 of 9 targets for 41 yards and a score. He ended up looking like a lot better than he did on Sunday. He wasn't as hobbled as he was after some of the plays that he did. So, you know, Brady did have some pressure on him in this game, as I mentioned earlier. So it looked like it got him off on some throws that might have connected with Evans. Rookie Tyler Johnson, he looked pretty good. Caught 4 of 6 targets for 61 yards. Shout out to mi amigo Jordan Bohink for recommending Johnson on our preseason rookie preview. Scotty Miller, who got so much hype pregame, and a lot of people were following whether he was going to be healthy for this one. He got 0 targets on this one. Big letdown. Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, Mr. Soy Fiesta. He caught 3 of 6 targets for a season-high 52 yards as his role grew with Jordan O.J. Howard out for the game. So something to keep an eye on. His fellow tight end, Cameron Brate, did also register 44 receiving yards on 5 receptions. So we're going to keep an eye on this one to see if between the two of them, if they're kind of vulturing targets from each other. We'll see. Vamos a ver. Rookie Keyshawn Vaughn did get 2 receptions for 5 yards, so anyone who was hoping for him to have his role grow after he caught a touchdown in week 4, it's really looking like he's buried in this game. So I don't think there's anything to see here. I don't think he's worth picking up at this point. All right, that's it for Thursday Night Football. Now let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
The Titans and Patriots have recorded 0 positive COVID test as of Friday morning. So that's a good sign for their rescheduled games. The Pats now host Denver on Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, while the Titans take on the, they host the Bills Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So also the Chiefs-Bills game for week six has been moved to Sunday, October 18th. So vamos a ver, everybody, we have to stay fluid on this because the Jets had a positive COVID test turn up today and then sent everybody home from their practice facility. So this is important as the Cardinals are set to travel today to New Jersey for Sunday's game. So we're going to follow this as it develops over the next couple days and make any updates via Twitter to help out the familia community. Over in Big D, Tyron Smith, the all-pro left tackle, is out for the season with neck surgery. I mean, this is a big blow to one of the best offensive lines in the game. And it's probably why Ezekiel Elliott has been, hasn't been running as much as he has been in years past. So vamos a ver, hopefully. I know because I have Zeke on one of my teams. Over in Charger country, Justin Herbert was officially named the starter for the remainder of the season, starting quarterback. Really no surprise here. You know, this is a meritocracy. You know, this guy just missed three straight games with 300 plus yards by 10 yards in last Sunday. So that would have been a rookie record. So Justin Herbert has been fantastic. He's been a revelation. So make sure you're firing up Keenan Allen. And it'll be interesting to see how Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly kind of split the carries now that Austin Eckler is out. And I still think it helps Hunter Henry. And vamos a ver if this is good for Mike Williams in the long run when he's healthy. Speaking of healthy, Julio Jones, he did not practice on Thursday, and it's not looking very good for him with that hamstring issue that's been bothering him. Lastly, Cam Akers, he resumed practicing in full, so does that eat into Daryl Henderson's touches? Malcolm Brown, are we really looking at Ravens West? I think we just have to keep an eye on this. Just no way to know what's going to happen with this backfield until we see it play out. All right, familia, that's it for Cheese Man. All right, we're going to pick back up with week five previews, part two. Hector, start us up. Take us to Baltimore.
All right, well, we're going to Baltimore, home of Camden Yards, if you're a Baltimore Orioles fan. If you've been out there, I was out there one time many years ago, many moons ago. I saw the park, didn't go in. We went on a weekday or weekend when it was closed, but cool gates, and I was able to look inside.
Great story, Hector.
Oh, it's a beautiful ballpark.
Really, really, really neat outside gates. But I was able to look in and see inside a little bit, so I could actually kind of chalk it off my list. I've seen Camden Yards. I actually like touched the gates at Camden Yards.
I'll count that because I've been to like four or five stadiums like that. There you go. So I'll count it.
All right. So we got the Baltimore Ravens 3-1 hosting the Bengals 1-2-1. Again, if they have that third number there, that's generally not good. Baltimore is favored by 12.5, a very robust 12.5 points, and over under at 51.5. This is clearly going to be a Baltimore victory. By how much just remains to be seen. Les Lamar Jackson is a little banged up. Yes, he was held out of practice Wednesday. However, I think it's just precautionary. I think there's no reason to worry that Mr. Lamar Jackson will fire it up and be ready to rock and roll and just blow through the Cincinnati Bengal defense. Now, I am really impressed with Joe Burrow this year. He's been doing lots of great things. I think they said he's one of the few quarterbacks that he started with the first four games throwing 300 yards. Do I have that right? First 4 weeks, 300 yards passing.
I think it was close. I think he almost got it. Didn't get it completely though.
Okay.
Didn't get all.
So yeah. And Joe Mixon, I believe Joe Mixon was the number one scoring fantasy player last week, right? 151 yards rushing, two TDs, 30 yards receiving. So, yes, there's been a Joe Mixon sighting. You know, for those of you who were poo-pooing Joe Mixon over his first couple of weeks, saying like, no, this guy's not good. You know, we're going to drop him or trade him, or he's trade bait, you know, sell him high, sell him low, whatever.
They'll be saying that this week.
Yeah, I believe Joe Mixon will come back down to earth. Baltimore's defense, we've spoken about it, is elite, however you want to say it, E-L-I-T-E, elite. They are one of the top defense, if not the best defense
in the NFL. They're about to shut down. Well, obviously, if they're unless they're playing against the Chiefs, which that's a whole different story. But against everybody else in the NFL, they are elite. So yes, Joe Mixon will probably come back down to earth. Have a reasonable game, nothing spectacular. Tyler Boyd, last week, 8 catches, 90 yards, no scores. T. Higgins is emerging as one of Joe Burrow's favorite targets. He had 7 targets compared to Tyler Boyd's 8. So he's up there. He's climbing the ladder on the Bengals' receiving core. I look for him to do even more things down the road. A.J. Green is just – he can retire him. If he was a horse, you know, he'll be at Elmer's Glue Farm by now, I would imagine. but, yeah, poor A.J. Green. I feel bad. 1 target for 5 years. What was it? What am I saying here? 1 catch at 5 targets, 3 yards. 3 yards.
He's garbage. I'm tired of people offering me him in trades.
I feel bad. I think we've seen the end of A.J. Green. He's had a wonderful career. But I think now with Joe Burrow being the gunslinger that he is, he's looking for the young cats with the speed that are going to break out and create space. That's Tyler Boyd and that's T. Higgins. On the Baltimore side, there's not much left to say. I mean, except for that big question mark with their backfield. Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins. Who do you start?
One of them is going to get 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, it's like when you go to Vegas and you're playing the roulette table and it's just like first 12, second 12, third 12. And it's just like, if you want to bet that way or black or red, 0-0, like, you know, one of them is going to hit, but you just don't know which one to bet on. This is that. Who do you bet on? Gus Edwards, 38 yards last week. Mark Ingram, 34 yards last week. J.K. Dobbins, 16 yards last week. But he did have the 2 TD game early in the season. So it's a mess. Probably want to stay away from the Ravens' backfield at all times. Marquise Brown, obviously looks like as receivers go, that's obviously Lamar Jackson is only target, not really anybody else there to speak of as far as wide receivers that are fantasy relevant. As far as other ball catchers, yes, Mark Andrews is on my team. 2 TDs, yes, only 57 yards. But his second game with multiple touchdowns, very excited. So, yes, all you need to know is that Baltimore will win in a blowout game. This will be entertaining. Joe Burrow's very exciting to watch. I want to see him throw open for another 300 yards. I want to see T. Higgins go off because I just picked him up off waivers.
Ooh.
And Mark Andrews is my guy at my starting tight end. So looking forward to a good game here.
I think definitely eventually there's going to be a garbage time. Does Baltimore allow it as far as does their defense just give up and allow the yards? Probably. So Boyd definitely, maybe T. Higgins, but I think Boyd's the favorite of all on this team. I wouldn't expect to see Mixon do much more other than what he does in the receiving side. And last week he went 6 for 6 with 30 yards and a touchdown. Maybe he duplicates that total for the day. But Baltimore's pretty tight and they're just going to force Cincinnati to throw it in the air. And you're going to see Burrow make the mistakes under pressure that we haven't been able to see him do yet.
Yeah, the Baltimore defensive line is going to – I think they're going to dominate the Cincinnati line, which is probably one of the – if not the worst, it's one of the worst in the NFL right now. So, and that's the thing. This is that to me is the only concern about Joe Burrow is are they going to be able to, you know, not get him banged up, you know, from taking so many hits. I hate it when I agree with you, Ricky, but I agree on Mixon having I think Mixon's really going to come back down to earth on this one. And, while I think it was a good idea to grab T. Higgins, on the waiver wire this week, I don't see him doing much because Baltimore is just great at every level, at the line, the linebackers and the DBs, they're fantastic. And, I don't know if I trust, you know, on the Baltimore side, I don't know if I trust anybody on the backfield.
It's a three-headed monster, you stay away. You know if you're it's like Dungeons and Dragons, you know, you're like a paladin with like a two-headed broadsword, like stay away from the three-headed monster. He will eat you, take all your hit points, and you will die.
Well, let's go to Houston, where two teams have one win between them. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the one win. They're 1-3 at Houston, 0-4, and the line has dropped down to 6.5. It's 54.5 for over under. I mean, I think this game's gonna be a shootout. Neither defense is particularly good. Jacksonville, you know, Minshew kind of got back on his
On his
skis Minshew last
mania,
week
because Chark came back. That's all it was.
That's what it was. Exactly. You know, Minshew went for 351 yards, and
they still lose.
Yes.
Who cares? Those are
fans. They're fun. The freaking Jags care if they lost.
They win.
They want a good draft pick. They want.
When I see a team lose, all I can think of is they're not going to play the same way as they did during this loss, because that would be crazy. So I always think the team's going to change a little bit. So I think you're just a fool to think, oh, we're going to see this again this week, because it got them the loss last week. Why would they do it again? That's the only thing.
That's what they do.
It's the offense.
This is what they do.
It's the defense that's a problem.
It's a different week for them. They need to find.
Yeah, it's like the Cowboys. The Cowboys have done the same thing.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to continue going through Dak.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
They're eventually going to have to find something concrete, some sort of rhythm. But
no, they're not. They're setting records. Dak Prescott is setting records.
No one, I feel like no one that the team doesn't care if they're losing because they want to make playoffs. They want to make playoffs.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
Owners want to make playoffs because they make money. Troy Aikman,
not only did he say their defense was bad, he said their defense was embarrassing.
Well, let's focus on this game. We'll talk about Dallas in a second.
Houston's got a brand new head coach, an interim coach, right?
Yep, Romeo Crennel.
And where did Crennel, was he also at the Browns?
Yeah, he was the head coach at the Browns for a while, but before that, he was in New England. I think he was the defensive coordinator there.
Oh, way before that.
Yeah,
but I just feel like I don't know. I have no hope for this Houston team the rest of the year. I'll let you finish everything else, Georgie.
You know, to me, it comes down to Deshaun Watson. Does he have more continuous rapport with Will Fuller? You know, Will Fuller got 108 yards on 6 receptions and a touchdown last week, and he's
so much money. He's guaranteed to do that, I feel like, when he's healthy.
And he almost had a second touchdown where he just had a toe out of the, you know, outside, and it was just it killed me because I
him and DK
him
Metcalf
it.
Have been doing that, man. Those are killers, man.
But the thing is, it comes down to Deshaun Watson, and you know, he is a franchise quarterback, and so he's going to give them a chance to win every week. But again, you know, I don't, you know, do the players rally around one another to actually, you know, show professional pride and, you know, really ball out. And that's why I think, you know, I think it was Nico that put Houston as the pick this week. I mean, I think this is a shootout, but I do think Houston gets their first win on this one. But I do like Deshaun Watson as a good play. I'm not going to put out 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, which will mean that he does that this week. But
right. I think he definitely gets over 300 yards. I don't know about the win. I don't know if they get the win, but I
here's
think
Jacksonville is so bad. Jacksonville is so bad defensively.
Yeah, but here's
Jacksonville can throw up points though, just like I knew the Vikings can.
And so can Houston.
Houston though is more predictable the way they throw up points, and I think that's when it's dangerous. And they lost last week, and I called it, so I feel like this game's gonna be close.
I mean, Minnesota's defense is not very good. And my concern, the stat that stands out to me is that Deshaun Watson ran 5 times against Minnesota's mediocre, if not bad, defense for 9 yards. So this is the game. Keep an eye on that. If you're going to keep an eye on something, keep an eye, because Jacksonville's defense is just god-awful. So if Deshaun Watson doesn't run all over them himself, then there's something wrong with Deshaun Watson, because there's no way he should have run 5 times for 9 yards against Minnesota's defense. And there's something there that doesn't smell right. It doesn't look right, you know, with a stat line like that as far as rushing for Deshaun Watson. This guy should be getting, you know, at least one of those 5 carries should have gone for at least, you know, 5 or 6 yards. I mean, 5 carries for 9 yards is just, you know, 1.8 yards a carry. That's something doesn't look right there. So let's keep an eye on that and see what Deshaun Watson's running game for himself looks like against Jacksonville. If he doesn't run wild against them, then there may be something wrong with Deshaun Watson.
And before we leave on the subject of Watson, George, I'd like something hazy or unfiltered.
Something
hazy. Oh, beer bets? you're already calling.
Yes, I do owe you that. I do owe you that. But so before we leave, before we leave this game, I'm coming to you, my primos, for advice.
Yes. Okay. Bring it.
Brandon Cooks.
Bye bye.
I've got a zero last week.
I've been saying stop with him. Hold on. Just stop with him.
Here's what we'll do. You know, you remember.
Is this a game though that, you know, against such a bad defense, could he be a play?
In DFS, but if he's on my team in the regular season, I'm already expecting to go like 7-6, if not worse on the season. Because
you know when the mariachi leaves and they sing that song, adios, adios,
he's not consistent. Say yes, bye to Brandon Cooks. Sing him off.
Well, but because he's not consistent, does he potentially become a play? Because
depends on who you have to replace him.
Let me look in my – it's in my sleeper
league. Fuller went for 108 yards and a touchdown, and Brandon Cooks went for zero. That is a – if there was ever like a red flag, this is like one that's like pasted to your forehead.
I don't want a guy whose floor is zero.
Right, exactly.
A healthy zero.
Yeah.
Do I play him or Jonnu Smith?
Come on, man. You didn't get Jefferson. Cooks. You don't have anyone else.
Here's the question.
This is four flexes. This is a four flex.
Why did he not throw to Brandon Cooks, George? Why? How did Brandon Cooks get a big donut last week?
Well, he threw to him three times.
Jonu's got a great matchup because he's the only one who's going to be able to catch the ball. Everyone else has got COVID.
Yeah, so. three times. Yeah, exactly. He threw to him three times. And
I rep Jonu. And that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, Will Fuller got six catches for 108 yards, and Brandon Cooks got absolute zero. So,
La dona. Okay, I think I've got my answer. There you go. Ricky, vamos a San Francisco.
All right, everybody. This game looks like it could be a trap game for San Fran in the sense that don't sit on Miami. People say, is it Tua time since Ryan Fitzpatrick is only leading Miami to 1-3, which, hey, we already knew that was going to happen. And I think it's just more of the Herbert's in. Why can't Tua be in? So we might see that coming directly. But San Fran, as far as their quarterback situation goes, who knows who's starting? Not sure about all the news that's happening today, but last I heard, Bethard, however you want to pronounce his name. C.J. Bethard. It's not Bethard?
No, it's Bethard.
There's so many different ways. Is he or Jimmy G? Because I believe we had a Jimmy G sighting. Why are we arguing over a third-string quarterback's name?
The
running back, Raheem Mostert, returned to practice on Wednesday. So do we expect him to get a full load? Do you expect to see McKinnon take more since last week? He was serviceable on both sides of the ball with 50 yards over running and then 43 yards receiving. And then Wilson also did great. So it's like, what are we going to do this week with Mostert back? I think they ease Mostert back in. It's a home game. So maybe you let McKinnon and Wilson go test out the turf and see if they get injured, see if you want to put Mostert out on that field. And then you say, okay, Mostert, you go out there. No one else is getting injured. So other than that, Kittle down the middle, 15 for 16 last week, 183 yards. If C.J. Bethard or Bethard.
Just say it right, bro.
I can't even.
Like every time you say it like twice. Just say it Bethard.
Bethard.
If Bethard's the quarterback, George Kittle has the chance – of throwing these numbers up again.
Yep.
If Jimmy G is the quarterback, Kittle doesn't do this. It's going to be more spread. Expect Debo to get more of the ball, especially with Jimmy G being able to have the accuracy and the depth to throw to him. And then with Ayuk trying to emerge, I think look for him to just be their special teams player, but like their special player, like in the sense that he's going to be running it. doing the short routes, all this little stuff. And this way it'll really open the ball for the running game and for Debo. And then Kittle down the middle easily. But because of that, Kittle's not going to get the volume that we're going to see if Beathard is the quarterback.
See, you said it once. Good job.
So I think as far as Miami's concerned, I mean, Devontae Parker, what can you say? He's just been great, but he's probably the only player on this team who has this ceiling where it's like, oh, he's serviceable. He can play on my team. Everyone else, it's like, do you want to put Gaskin in? Like, he's getting volume. Gaskin's getting the ball a lot. It looks like they like him, but you don't want to have to rely on someone like him. You don't want to have to rely on Fitzpatrick, especially if you think Tua's coming. Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki. These are guys who I just think, especially against a team like San Fran, I'm like, I wouldn't have them playing in anything, DFS or anything. These guys are all off. And Devontae Parker's the only guy, and that's a flyer depending on the price he is. On San Fran's side, just Kittle. I mean, we don't know anything about the running game, the quarterback play. So just Kittle's the only thing. And I think San Fran once again gets an easy game that'll probably be a close one. And who knows? Hopefully they lose.
I like Ayuk in this game because Miami's defense has not been not done much in the backfield. But
they shut down Minshew Mania.
That's why it's just Miami's so crazy. I feel like it could be a trap game for San Fran.
It could be. And they did hold Russell Wilson to 360 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, look at that. They're amazing. They are amazing. Oh man.
Hector, let's go back in time to, you know, Indy Cleveland.
All right, so I'm going to take us down to Cleveland, and I will somehow, some way, apologize maybe halfway to the Cleveland Browns fans in all of our previous shows.
I think you should after this game.
So I'll do that after this game.
But it's a nice preview of what you're going to be doing.
Okay, maybe this may be a preview of my Cleveland Brown fans' apology. I've been speaking very, what's the word I want to use? Very negatively about the Browns.
You've been mudslinging.
a little bit.
Killing them.
Yeah, I've been killing the Browns, and hey, they're 3-1, and Baker looks pretty solid, and OBJ has been doing magical things just like he did, you know, back in 2014, making that crazy catch on Monday Night Football. They are D'Ernest Johnson with 95 yards rushing last week. So Cleveland is looking good, you know, but again, they've been spreading the ball surprisingly.
Baker Mayfield doesn't need all those yards. That's what's surprising.
Right. I think the new head coach has kind of grounded this Cleveland's team. And I think Baker has bought in. Clearly Baker has bought into the new philosophy.
Surprising.
That it's not all about him. And he's actually becoming a little bit unselfish as far as spotlight goes. And the Browns are winning. Philip Rivers over there is just doing Philip Rivers things. Last week threw for 190 yards and a touchdown. I just feel bad that, again, going back to, you know, what
it's like they don't need him. It's like they don't need him.
Yeah. It's almost like a mirror image of like Philly. Like, who are the weapons that Philip Rivers has? I feel bad. I almost feel like if you bring Keenan Allen over here to Indy, like they might actually do something.
But they're 3-1. So it's working.
It is. It seems weird because from a fantasy standpoint, it just looks weird. T.Y. Hilton, 29 yards last week. Mo Ali Cox, 13 yards and a score. Like, from a fantasy standpoint, it's just, it doesn't seem to be working. But they won last week 19-11. So from a fantasy standpoint, I don't know how much investment you put into, you know, the Colts offense. You know, they're not gonna, you know, light up your fantasy scoreboard. You know, Cleveland Browns, like I said, they're doing things. You know, and Indy, like I said, is favored by 2 points. I'm not gonna touch this game. I actually kind of see Cleveland winning this game. You know, even though Indy has a solid defense, and I know I'm flipping the script. I know I'm kind of going back on all those terrible, nasty things I said about the Browns.
Yeah, but you make terrible picks, so you're right on script.
Well, hey, thanks, Rick. So whatever. So if I say something, Rick's thinking the opposite. So maybe for next year's draft,
when I'm quiet, I think the same. But
I will So Indy's favored by two. I say Cleveland squeaks this one out, maybe by a field goal over Indy. But I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I think Cleveland is doing things. And like Rick said, this will be their test because Indy's defense is real. If they can win this game, then that means that the Cleveland Browns are finally for real. And the Cleveland fans can have something to cheer for ever since LeBron James left and came over here to Los Angeles to give us another title to hang in the rafters. So thank you, LeBron.
Hopefully tonight.
Yes.
Friday night.
In the snake skin.
The thing I keep coming back to, Indy has one of the best defenses. In fact, they have the best defense against the run, and that's what Cleveland is trying to do. So I think that's where the game is going to be won. If Cleveland can actually run on them or if Indy's going to stop them. So I think it's really going to come down on that. And
what do you think is going to happen?
Well, Kareem Hunt's great out of the backfield. Remember, Kareem Hunt's got some great hands, and he scored twice last week. Yes, rushing touchdowns last week, but the guy can also catch. So if Indy's defense, which obviously the Browns know they're great against the run, then they'll just have Kareem Hunt just pop out.
Who touches the ball more, Hunt or Johnson?
He'll just do that McCaffrey style and do damage that way.
I think it'll be Hunt. Johnson will be a factor. But we'll take some carries away from him, but I think it'll be Hunt. I don't know if they're going to be able to run enough to beat the Colts. And I think it'll come down to the Indy stopping Cleveland. And does somebody make a play on the Indy side? I almost feel like Indy should be favored because they're going to have a good, both teams have good offensive lines. And I just don't know. I know Cleveland has been able to get at the quarterback. I don't know how well they've done against the running game. They've been okay against the running game. Not great. I think this is going to be an old school game. This is going to be two teams that are just going to, dig in.
A barn burner.
No, it's not going to be a barn burner. I think this will be like a, 14-10 game or, 17-14. It's going to be, 1973. I
could see both of the quarterbacks being disappointing easily. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take us to D-Town, which could be a fun game. Dallas hosting the New York Giants. Again, another game with two teams with one win. Dallas having the one win on a milagro with the Falcons. We touched on this before. Daniel Jones, this is his first, quote-unquote easy matchup this season, even though it is in Dallas. He did well last year against the bad teams, the bad defenses, and Dallas is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They do not stop the run. So, does Daniel Jones actually get out and, scramble a little bit? I don't know if Devonta Freeman and Wayne Gallman can combine for 307 yards. If they do, you really just got to start over.
That's Hall of Fame numbers right there.
You got to just start over. But I mean, this is one of those games where you got to really look at the fact that you got to look at your Giants as possible plays, possible cheap plays on DFS, Slayton and Tate.
Slayton for sure. DFS pick up Slayton for sure.
Just because of that. On the Dallas
target.
Yeah. On the Dallas side, you just play everybody. Dak, what is it? Three games in a row over 450 yards, an NFL record. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's putting up.
He'll go for 600. He's
playing roulette with the wide receivers. I think Cooper's definitely a go-to. Going to get 10 targets. But between Gallup and Lamb, who knows? With Schultz, who knows?
Schultz has been getting, consistently getting targets. It's Gallup. Does he get enough is it his week? Is his week to do anything this week and get more than five targets like he got last week? I mean, I've been frustrated, but I keep thinking about the fact that I can't turn away. I'm frustrated because I have him in a Familia League, but I can't turn away because there is just so much volume in this offense that it's ridiculous. That there are going
to
be weeks
to their detriment.
Yeah,
they're throwing way too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit him a week that, like the previous week, he went for 138 yards. So, he's going to get what is going to be intriguing is, does Zeke go off this week? He ran the ball only 12 times last week. And so, you know, he got eight receptions, but, you know, do they try and control the clock a little bit and just not, you know, try to beat the Giants kind of like a little more old fashioned way?
That's wild. I still can't believe Zeke only ran the ball 12 times. Like,
they're going to get over
what, that. What is going on? What is going on in Dallas? I don't get it. There's no
way. They're
going
to want to come out to a quick lead by throwing it, which is going to be a bad idea. But if they do it, then they're going to run Zeke after. But they need to just punch the Giants in the face right away with Zeke.
Right, exactly.
Just use him the whole game. But, I mean, McCarthy, come on. Stop making Dak look so good. Well, you're just gonna pay a lot. You're just gonna pay a lot for him in the end,
right? He did it with Aaron Rodgers, and now he's doing it with Dak. So I mean, you know, he's got some magic. He's got some juju there. I think this is McCarthy. You know, this is McCarthy like puffing his chest and saying, "See what I do with quarterbacks, all you NFL owners out there. This is what I can do for your quarterback when my contract's over here in Dallas. You can pay me the mega bucks." And I can do this for your quarterback too. So I think that might be part of it.
Hector, take us to Sunday night on what could be a fun game.
Sunday, fun day. All right. So yeah, I agree. This will be a fun game. Minnesota are 1-3 at Seattle Seahawks, who are 4-0 and just dynamite to watch. The Seahawks offense is just fantastic. I mean, they got all kinds of crazy things going on. Chris Carson, well, obviously we'll start at the top. Russell Wilson is just bananas. I mean, you know, Wilson, he'll probably go for MVP. What's the hashtag, George? Let Russ eat, something like
let
that.
Russ let Russ cook. Hashtag let Russ cook.
He's let him cook. Let him eat. Let him just freak take over the kitchen. Let him do that because Russell Wilson is going to be this year's MVP. I don't think Dak deserves it. That offense is just broken.
You can't get it if you are the MVP lose. Of a losing team. Like
yeah. Exactly. The defense is broken. The defense is broken.
Well, yeah. Well,
but you at some point you got to say. He only got those numbers because the defense is broken.
Right.
Try getting those numbers when your defense has been okay, and therefore you have to actually try harder because it's you don't always get garbage time.
Exactamundo. So here's Russell Wilson last week, just padding his stats, the video game numbers, 360 yards passing, two TDs. And then Chris Carson, their offense is that's the passing game. Chris Carson went for two scores rushing. My man DK Metcalf had 106 yards receiving. He missed his TD by 1 yard, got pushed out of bounds. Lockett is always Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett, one of the fastest guys in the NFL and with great hands. So he's going to do what he does. And then you got David Moore, who went for 95 yards and a score as well. So that's the exciting fireworks that you're going to see from the Seahawks side. On the Minnesota side, you're going to see some of the same. I mean, Kirk Cousins, yes, he's a game manager, but the guy – it's always fun to watch. 260 yards passing last week with a touchdown, 16-22. He is efficient. We've talked about it before. He is a game manager. But, geez, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, both of them went for over 100 yards. Thielen with 114, Jefferson with 103. And Thielen, eight catches on 10 targets. Justin Jefferson, 4 catches on 5 targets. So, yeah, the Kirk Cousins is deadly accurate. It's going to be a great, fun game to watch. Yes, Seattle is going to win. They're favored by 7. They may win by more than that. I think these Seattle receivers just, you know, they get a bunch of points on their side. Fantasy-wise, fire up everybody. Well, as far as Metcalf, Lockett, and Carson, and Wilson, David Moore, I don't think he scores again. Maybe as a deep flex play, possibly if you need that, because Seattle's offense is just so dang potent. Minnesota side, you're going to fire up Thielen, Jefferson, Dalvin Cook for sure, 130 yards rushing, 2 TDs, duh. That guy's always awesome to watch. Kirk Cousins, if you need a quarterback, possibly he's not going to light up your fantasy points. But if you really need a quarterback this week, Kirk Cousins is not a bad call because Seattle's defense isn't so great. So I see Kirk Cousins definitely getting his this week as well.
All right, I think that's it for our previews. Though I do one last thing on that game, 57.5 point over/under.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big number.
Exactly.
Both QBs number.
That's high.
That's good. that's a big number, especially when both teams have good running games. So, yep. No, it's gonna be a fun game. Going to be a fun game. Let's see how many touchdowns Russ throws for. So we'll preview the Monday Night Football game on our Sunday Night Recap. So that's going to be it for our show. Gracias for joining us, everybody. And thank you to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please subscribe at Apple and leave us a review there. Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. And remember to check out our FamiliaFFB.com website and our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Remember to get out and vote.
Go vote.
Por favor, yes. Por favor. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.